Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. The Word of God says in Exodus 2:24, and it's talking about Israel and when Israel had been in captivity in Egypt. And it's talking about God hearing their groaning. It says, God heard their groaning and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God heard their groaning. Today we're going to talk about something that we touched on a little bit Friday, and we're going to continue with this theme a little bit. God hears. Let's understand this. God hears. We often have these mindsets that God doesn't hear. We say to ourselves this, and therefore God doesn't hear. I have failed, and therefore God doesn't hear. And yes, we do break fellowship with God when we are in sin, but God still hears. God hears. Now, the Father can't look upon sin. The Holy Spirit is grieved by it. So we have to understand the roles of the persons of God in order to really fully understand what we are dealing with. The Holy Spirit, even when we are, He never leaves. Even when we are in mistake, failure, backslidden, rebellion, whatever you want to call it, the born-again believer will never have the Holy Spirit leave him or forsake him. God cannot fellowship with him, God the Father. And the Holy Spirit has no fellowship as an exchange with that believer. God does not delight in sin. He takes no pleasure in it. But nevertheless, He does not leave and He does not forsake. Sometimes we get into a circumstance and we feel overwhelmed by our circumstance and we say, where is God? And maybe like the Savior say, God, why have you forsaken me? But God hasn't forsaken. God never leaves. He never abandons. He always hears. God hears because He has ears to hear. So He hears. Understand this. The requirement for an answered prayer is a prayer that has been asked. That's the end of the story. Now, there are a lot of things that go into answering prayer. Perhaps the will of God is such that I don't fully understand what's going on. And I may ask something of God, and God may not grant me necessarily specifically the words that I have asked. That He will grant me the need of my heart according to the petition. In other words, the Holy Spirit prays for us in groanings that cannot be uttered. And we have limited understanding in our lives. And so we may ask, and sometimes we say, God, I prayed and You didn't answer. And how do you know? You see, until I go home to be with the Lord, I don't really entirely fully know what He has answered me anyway. So accusing God in not answering is not a really wise thing to do, because He hears and He does answer. In Matthew 7:7, He says, ask and you shall receive. That is the condition for receiving. It is asking. God, I asked that that person be healed and they went home to be with You. This is a very common one. God, I asked that You do it and it didn't go well. God, I asked You for this provision and I didn't receive it. And this is a common one. And God says, do you know the end of the story? Do you know the full extent and the full realization of the plan? Do you know how things are going to work together so that they are for your good and for your sake? Do you know the plan that I have and the details that are required to deal with my heart? Do you know? Do you know the capacity you have when the Word of God tells us that the heart is deceitful? Do you know what it is that you need? Never say, God, You have not answered my prayer. Because you're not at the end of the story. God hears. When Israel cried out to God, Israel was granted something. Israel was granted that which by sight was really quite impossible. Because Pharaoh had no desire to let them go whatsoever. Pharaoh was making money hand over fist from the fact that Israel was in Egypt. There was no good reason for him to let them go. But God hears. Realize something. We have a God who hears. People say, I didn't ask and I got the answer. Have you ever had that? Like you had a desire in your heart, you didn't even ask, but you got the answer? Why? Well, what is it to pray anyway? Like if the Holy Spirit is in my heart and I have a meditation or I have a desire of the heart, then wouldn't He hear the desire of my heart? Didn't God say it's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom? Didn't He say that He delights when we ask? Didn't He say, command me the works of my hands? And so when you pray, recognize that God hears. When you are not praying in your mindset, but you are perhaps just complaining, recognize that God hears. I love that story of that boy. We mentioned this on Friday. I love that story of that boy who, I don't remember his name though. He's 4 years old, gets killed. God takes him home. The father, who is a pastor, is very distraught, very angry with God. And God says to this little boy, would you like to stay here? Because he saw the Savior, he said. He described him. He says, would you like to stay here? And the little boy says, yes, I would. He said, I'm sorry, but you can't. Your father is praying. The father wasn't praying. The father was angry. He was chewing God out. But he heard. And what the father heard was not the words of his mouth as much as the desire and the need of his heart. God hears your heart. This is when a heart is broken, let's say, and God simply suddenly starts sending people around to love that person, to minister. God does things that are special for that person. God imparts grace to that person. And that person may even be too weak to ask because God hears the heart. God hears you. Do you understand this? God hears you. In Psalm 17:16, the Word of God tells us He inclines His ear. You see, He doesn't just hear. He's listening very carefully for any sound that might come His way. God hears you. God knows your thoughts before you think them. And He hears your prayers before you've prayed them. He hears them from afar. He hears you. God is very intimately concerned with the details of your life. It always amazed me how one God can handle everybody. But He can. One God hears every word and lives in it, the heart of every believer. God hears you. He knows the plan. He's finished the work from the foundation of the world in Hebrews 4:3. He knows the plan. He knows exactly what it'll take. He knows the decisions you'll make. And He knows the outcome. Before it began, He already knew the end. He knew that you would have a need. And the provision has already been set in place. God hears you. He heard you before you were born. You see, this is the thing about God. He knows who you are. He knows your heart. He knows what you're like. And He loves you anyway. He knows, like, my weaknesses. You ever see somebody who, like, comes to church and they pray and they speak in old English? Like, why do they pray in old English? I mean, they can if they want. I'm not criticizing them. But I never could quite understand. Why do they pray in old English? Like, then God is, I mean, if you're going to pray old, then pray like Aramaic or Hebrew. But why in old English? God speaks the language of the heart. He hears your thoughts. He knows your intents. Sometimes we say to ourselves, I don't have the faith to receive what I have asked for. Sometimes we say to ourselves, I have failed. Sometimes we say to ourselves, I have come short. Sometimes we say to ourselves, I am not worthy. None of those things are true. We say to ourselves, I don't have enough faith, and therefore I didn't answer my prayer. And sometimes you'll even hear this from pastors even. If you had more faith, you would have been healed. You're not healed because you don't have enough faith. Baloney. You're not healed because God is training you to reign. They that suffer with Christ will reign with Christ, we are told. We receive according to God's willingness. And God's willingness doesn't change. He is willing. He already told us that it's His good pleasure to give us all things. He already told us that He has not withheld the Son. Why would He withhold anything else from us now? God will withhold nothing to the believer who asks Him. Now, that doesn't mean if I ask Him for some, let's say I ask Him for a Cadillac, that He's going to give me a Cadillac necessarily, because maybe I wouldn't have the capacity for that. The prosperity test is the hardest test there is. It's the most difficult, challenging one for the believers. It trips up more people than anything else. So maybe I won't get a Cadillac, but He said, I will supply all your needs. And maybe as I'm walking wherever I'm having to go to, instead of being in my Cadillac, He's doing something in my heart to build a capacity in me that perhaps there's a training going on. Hey, how do you know as you're walking down the road that you're not going to end up in some African country in the bush as a missionary and you're going to have to get used to walking? It's possible. You see, He works all those things together. God knows and He hears. People say to themselves, I don't have faith. How much faith does it take? The Word of God says it takes the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, right? It's a grain of a mustard seed. That's all it takes. That's in Matthew 7:20. It's the grain of a mustard seed. What does that mean? It means it doesn't have to be very big, but it does have to be alive. You see, when I have just a little bit of a living faith, a little bit of a faith knowing who God is, a little bit of a faith knowing the heart of my Savior, then I have what I need to do the impossible. Then I can say to the mountain, be removed, and it will be removed and cast into the sea. Then nothing is impossible for me because I have a faith that is alive. How is it that a believer has a faith that is alive? What does that even mean? How do I have a faith that's dead? I'll tell you how. A faith that is alive is a Galatians 2:20 faith. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God, not in the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God. You see, if I have the faith of the Son of God, then I have a living faith. What is the faith of the Son of God? The faith of the Son of God is such that He knows the Father and He knows that He is known by the Father. And He knows that if He brings something to the Father, He has heard Him. And He knows that there is nothing that the Father will withhold from Him. He knows that if he asks anything in God's name, it will be given him. What does it mean to ask something in God's name? When you pray, let's say you have a difficulty in your life, and you're praying about this difficulty. Go to the Word of God and grab a promise. Why? Because all the promises of God are yea and amen. There's 7,832 promises in the Bible. There's one for every one of your situations. Go to the Word of God and grab a promise. And then take that promise to God in prayer. And say to God, God, You said in Your Word that this is so. You said in Your Word that You will supply all my needs. You said in Your Word that You will not suffer Your children to beg for bread. You said in Your Word that anyone who asks will receive. You said in Your Word that faithful is He who's called you who will also do it. Grab a promise and take it to God. And when you grab a promise and you take it to God, then you're taking to God what you already know that He is willing. A lot of people will ask God and say, I don't know if He's willing to do this for me, really. I mean, I'd really like it, but I don't know if that's God's will. And so they're afraid they won't get an answer to God's promise because they don't know if that's the will of God that that thing come to pass. That's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is take a promise from God and bring it to Him, because the Bible and everything therein is the will of God. If God gave a promise in His Word, then the will of God is for that promise to be fulfilled for you. Those aren't promises given to specific individuals in history. Those are promises that are given to every believer. Take a promise, bring it to God, and keep bringing that promise to God until, like the woman coming to the unrighteous judge, and it's not a judge who wasn't righteous, it's unrighteous judge there means a monetary judge. It was a financial court. Take a promise to God, keep coming, and have full expectation that God will do as He said. And you can say to God, God, this promise pertains to my situation. You told me that You would take care of it in Your Word, and now I have full expectation and confidence that You will, and start thanking Him. Build a capacity in your own heart to receive that which you desire by being thankful, grateful to God for the promise that He already gave you regarding your circumstance. Grab a hold of the promises and pray with them. It's like taking a coupon to the... like, it's a little bit of a simplistic example, but it works. It's kind of the same idea. God gave a promise. Maybe God said He will supply all your needs. Let's take that promise. And I have a need. And I say, God, You said You would supply all my needs. Well, you know, even if I don't believe He abides faithful, even if I don't have it in my heart to completely trust His character, to completely believe what He said, He still abides faithful. Why? Because He can't deny Himself. So if I take what He has already said, He's going to abide faithful to what He said. And now I can have confidence in something, because really, since I have such a poor self-image and I say to myself, well, God would never do it for me, then let Him do it for Himself. Let Him do what He said, because He said He would do what He said. Say that 10 times fast. Take God's will to God. He gave His promises because He's willing. All of His promises are yea and amen. God cannot lie. He is not a man that He could lie. He's not going to change His mind about the promises He gave. The promises are better than written in stone. They're written in eternity. They can't be moved. They can't be changed. They can't fail. We know that if God gave a promise regarding something, then when He hears my prayer, He will answer. God hears. You see, we have great opportunity for confidence, although we don't always possess confidence. But we have great opportunity for confidence because we have all these promises from God, and God promised that He hears. But not only does He hear, God does not, you see, this is one of the things we have to remember. God does not hear prayer with His ears. He inclines His ears. That's anthropomorphism, that He's likening Himself to a person. But how does God receive prayer? Well, turn with me for a moment to Revelation 5:8. The Word of God says that the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And in Revelation 8:3, the Word of God says that an angel came and stood before the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. What does this mean? What does this tell us? That my prayer to God is not so much just the words that I pray. My prayer to God is an aroma. When God answers, He answers according to the aroma. This is why sometimes I'll pray that God won't answer to my words, God will answer to my need. This is perhaps I'll pray for something out of maybe a deep wound, like that pastor did. And God doesn't hear the words of the anger. God smells the aroma of the need. And so God answers the aroma. Now, what do you do with an odor? What do you do with aromas and incense? They mingle with the air that you inhale. When we pray, God inhales our prayers. They mingle with Him. And since He likens Himself in many cases to a person, then we could say that our prayer does something akin to getting into His bloodstream, into His cells, all throughout His being. Why? Because He breathes in the aroma of our prayer, the aroma of our need. God hears what we really ask. He doesn't just hear what we've said, but He hears what we've asked. This is why I need the Holy Spirit to help me pray. I can't understand my own heart, but the Holy Spirit knows it thoroughly. I can't understand my own thinking sometimes, but the Holy Spirit knows the truth. He knows the heart that I have, and He knows what's behind everything. He knows why. I don't usually know why, but He knows why. I might think I know why, but rarely do I really know why. Because there's so much that makes up. There's my background, there's my genetic makeup, there's so much. There's my mentality, my psychology, there's all these things that make me a human that are behind why. And God knows all of it. And so when God hears, He hears all of it. When God sees me, He sees me in my entirety. And He knows why. It doesn't take a lot of faith. It just takes a little bit that's alive. What is the faith of a mustard seed anyway? It's the faith to ask. What quantity of faith do I need? I need the faith to ask. Where in the Bible does it say, does God ever say, you didn't have enough faith to get an answer? The only time that anybody's faith was addressed in that respect was Peter, but he never sank. And we've said it before, the safest place in that storm was on the water. It wasn't in the boat. Because the boat was sinking. Peter was not. Peter was onto something. And though he started looking at the storm, and though he started looking all around about his details, though he started to see what's coming at him, and though he started to evaluate it with natural evaluation, the moment he cried out to God, God caught him. He never sank. Yes, he did doubt, but he never sank. Peter had a mustard seed faith. Peter had faith in a God that was alive. And he knew he could do something that's impossible. And it didn't bother Peter at all that God called him to do the impossible. Why? Because he knew the Savior was there. And what's impossible with the Savior? And so Peter took a step on the water, and the laws of physics didn't hold. And he walked. And then he stopped considering the God that had called him. And he says, "Lord, I perish," but he didn't perish. He just thought he would. But God had him. God wasn't mad that he didn't continue. God just taught him in the process. So, "Peter, you have a little bit of faith. Why didn't you use it? This was the time to use it." But he didn't say, "Okay, Peter, you're going to take a plunge for a bit to teach you how to do this right." You ever hear of people who say, "Well, I got to let my kids make their own mistakes so that they learn"? You know, that is about the dumbest saying I have ever heard. Why would I let my kids make mistakes? How is my kid getting wounded, getting scarred? How is that going to help my kid learn? It's going to damage my kid. You don't let your kids make their own mistakes. You raise up a child in the way he should go. You train him. Kid's about to make a mistake. He said, "No, you're not doing that, buddy." "Oh, but I want to." "That's because you have an old sin nature. You have a little flesh going rampant. We're not going to go there." You don't let your kid make mistakes. You know why people say, "I want to let my kid make their own mistakes so they don't have to take the responsibility of training that kid"? Why? Because it takes some effort. It takes a little discipline. It takes something going on with God. Because none of us know what we're doing. You don't get a handbook with the kid. Here's the kid, here's the handbook. God is like that with us. He teaches us to walk, but His arms are beneath us. And though we may fall, we'll not be cast down. And though I may fail, I will not fall. I'm going to be caused to stand, in Romans 14:4. You see, God is like this. He hears, and He answers the aroma of my prayer. He sees my life, and He knows what I need. And He answers the need, not the flesh. How many people ask God for something and then they get mad that they didn't get it? I have a question. If you can get mad that you didn't get what you wanted, what was it that you were asking for? And who was it that was asking? I can ask God for all kinds of things in my old sin nature. But He may not want to give me according to my old sin nature. I can ask God things that might be idolatry. And what He'll do is teach me how to have Him be my all in all. It's not that complicated. But know this. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what mistakes we may make, regardless of what type of difficult position we find ourselves in, God hears and He answers. You ever see somebody who's obviously asking for something that God would have according to God's heart? God, save that person. God, will you please save that person? And they say, I'm not willing. I don't know if God is willing to save that person. Well, He already told you that He was. It's His will that none should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of God. I don't have to worry about if it's God's will that somebody be saved. I know it's God's will. He said it. Don't worry so much about what the will of God is in your prayer. I mean, if you know something is, let's say you're a young person and you're praying, maybe should I go on the mission field? Yes, you want the will of God. But I mean, as you pray, don't worry as much about whether it's the will of God that you receive the answer to your prayer. The will of God is that you bring Him His promises. Pray according to His promises and trust Him for the outcome, knowing that all things do work together for good and that they are for your sake. Knowing that God will answer according to His plan for my need, even if it may not be my plan for my want in the moment. I don't know how many people ask God and say, God didn't give me, and then 3 years later say, thank God He didn't give me. Or I wish God hadn't given me. God hears. And He knows. And He answers. And He speaks. By the way, how do you hear from God when He talks to you? How many, assuming that you guys aren't hard of hearing, how many of you can hear my voice? Show hands. I can hear your voice. How hard was that? You know, this is a little bit of a tangent. You know what's pretty amazing? These little flaps on my voice box, my little vocal cords, going back and forth as air is pressing out of my lungs and past the cords out my mouth, producing waves in the air. And you've got these things in your ear that the waves hit, they've started going back and forth a little bit, the tympanic membrane starts this fluid in your ear vibrating, and these little hair cells in your ear and your cochlea start vibrating back and forth. The vibrations are picked up by the cochlear nerve, goes to the hearing center of the temporal lobe of the brain, and you can hear me. Tell me God didn't make that. Tell me that evolved. The design is impeccable. Just a little tangent. God hears you. Why does He hear you? Because He can. Amen.